So for those of you, like Josh said, my name is Joe, or like my wife calls me, Jose. I am from, I want to tell you today my story, because I think the most powerful weapon that you have against the devil is your story, because no one can tell your story by yourself. And I believe that God has, like Ephesians says, that God saves us, and he saves us for a purpose. And the hero of my story is not my mom, it's not me, it's Jesus. And the hero of your story is Jesus. And I want to tell you my story so you can share your story also. And as God opens doors and as God puts you wherever you're going to go today after here, that you will tell your story, and you will tell it in a way where Jesus is the hero. Would you say with me, Jesus is my hero? Now tell your neighbor, the one you kind of like, tell him, hero, Jesus is your hero. Jesus is your hero. Now, let me tell you why I tell you this. Because the Bible says that in Psalms 139 says, "For you formed me my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Also in Psalms 139 in verse 5 says, "You hand me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me." I love that verse. You lay your hand upon me. I was born in 1977, October 1st, 1977. In the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Haiti is number one, Nicaragua is number two. If you are familiar with Central America history, you'll know that my country, Nicaragua, has been ruled by a dictator I am 41 years old, and I left my country when I was 9 years old, and Daniel Ortega is still there as a dictator. When I grew up, that's all I knew. I knew that there was a dictatorship country that was ruled by a dictator that was their ultimate rule. But I learned earlier on that even through all that stuff, that God had put his hand upon me, that God has a purpose, that God has a plan, and no dictator or nobody can stop God from achieving his goals in your life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. So when I was born in a very hostile environment. Talking about civil war. War between the United States got involved and the Soviet Union got involved. The United States supported a little guerrilla warfare that happened there, where the Contras were being funded by the United States and being trained in Honduras. And the Soviet Union said, okay, well, we're going to support the Sandinista government because they're the communists. And we're gonna put weapons in the hands of the Sandinistas so they can fight the Contras and the Cold War. And some of you might have heard the Iran and Contra affair. Anybody remember that? So that's my country right there, right in the news. And there was a shortage of food because the United States had put an embargo against my country. Food wasn't coming into the country. I remember at the age of 5 or 6 going to the different barrios, different places in Nicaragua, just trying to buy milk. Trying to buy milk because as a good communist, they will give you a certain amount of food for the month. And if you run out of that amount of food, that's it. Toilet paper, all that stuff was just very rationed. And you are a good communist and you didn't complain because that's what the country supplied for you. So here I am growing up as a kid. I always tell people that when I came to the United States, my first thing that I always wanted to try was an apple. Because Nicaragua was not allowed to have apples and grapes, and all that stuff was an embargo. That was not coming into the country. So for me, the first thing I wanted to try an apple. I grew up very poor. I grew up in a country where people were sleeping in cardboard boxes, but God's hand was upon me. He had a purpose. He had a plan. My mentality growing up was I was always, God had something in me. I don't know what it was. I don't know what God has stirred in my life. And God has a history of using your past in order to help you with your future. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. So here I am, 1986, the war is going on. This is for real. I mean, this is the point where I have that against me. I have poverty. I have a war against me. That's 2 strikes. 1 more strike against me and I'm done. That is, my parents decided to get a divorce. My dad was a womanizer. He did not step up to be a man. He realized that it was more better for him to seek the pleasures of the world than to seek God. My mom was 16 years old when she had me. My father was around 20-something. Don't get that wrong. That's how it is in Latin America, okay? The men are usually older than the woman, and that's okay. That's accepted in our culture. And my dad was already had another wife when he married my mom. So I grew up under all this hostile environment. This woman that my mom, that my dad had on the side and eventually married, this woman was a witch. And I'm talking about a witch. This woman will go to my grandfather's house where my mom was pregnant with me. And this woman will put down voodoo dolls. See, here in America, we don't believe. We think that stuff from the movies. And that stuff doesn't exist. But this woman would put voodoo dolls in my grandfather's house, and my mom was starting to get sick and almost died in my mom's womb because she got real sick. She was 16 years old, and I remember my mom telling me, "But I believe that you were special, that God had a purpose, that God had a plan, and God rescued me from that woman. He used my grandfather's machete to warn this woman that she ever came back here, she was going to be gone." Okay, so God even uses people who are not of His to accomplish His purpose and His plan. Amen, amen. So here, follow me with this here. So I had these three strikes. I had a communist country. I had my parents getting a divorce, and then I had this war going on here. And through all these things, God uses this lady that cuts my mom's hair. That's important. Your testimony is important. My mom had this lady that cut her hair and told my mom, "Would you let me borrow your son?" I grew up in a Catholic home. We went to church only when we had trouble or during Easter or Christmas. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, tell your neighbor next to you. The pastor's talking about somebody you know. Tell him, the pastor's talking about somebody you know. All right, so here I am. Listen, look at God's plan, God's hands. He takes his little chunky little boy from Nicaragua, takes him to First Baptist Church of Managua, and he gets an opportunity of his lifetime, the deal of the lifetime, and he gets to know Jesus Christ. At the age of 5 or 6, the gospel was planted in my heart, and it was never the same. And I remember that Sunday there, the lady asked me, "Do you want Jesus Christ in your heart?" I didn't understand everything, but I knew something that was real, that God was real, that God was going to change my life. And my mom, at the age of around 8 or 9, decided in 1986 that we were leaving Nicaragua because this war was real, getting real bad to the point where the Sandinista government had this great strategy. If you were around 12 or 13 years old, you were able to hold that M16, you were going to go to the war and fight. So the kids they will wait for the kids that look big enough. And I'm a big guy, right? So I'm 9 years old, but I look big. My real dad is real husky, you know. So they will wait for the kids, and they will pick the kids up, pick you up, and take you to a training facility to train you at 12 years old to grab an M16 and go fight the Contras. And a lot of my cousins passed away. Hunger, going to fight the Contras, because that's what a good communist does. But God's sovereign hand, it's always there when He has a purpose and He has a plan for your life. So nothing that's ever happened in your life is an accident. God's hand has been on it. He's been calling your name. He wants to use you for His purpose, for His plan. And I want to encourage somebody this morning and let them know that no matter what you're going through, what your past has been to, God's hands has been there. And it is so amazing that through this journey that the Sandinista government made this movement of trying to recruit all these young men to go fight the war. This caused my mother to allow us to move to California. Now, this journey to California, it's not a vacation, or it's not a journey that's very easy. I remember leaving Nicaragua and walking a certain amount of miles to Honduras, from Nicaragua to Honduras, and we walked with a bunch of people, and then we got in. Around 8 or 9 years old, I remember getting in an 18-wheeler and filled with people and traveling from Honduras to Guatemala, and then to Mexico, and just my mom, and my sister, and a bunch of other people that I didn't know. But we were looking for the American dream, and we were looking for the opportunity to a better life, running away from a communist country, running away from poverty, running away from things that kids shouldn't see. But God's hand, again, the hero of my story is not my mother. The hero of my story is God. God is God's hand sovereign over there and protecting us as we walked, as we went through all these difficult areas in Guatemala and Mexico. And we finally got to Guatemala, to Mexico, and we finally got the opportunity by God's sovereign hand to cross the border. Don't worry, I got papers now, okay? I wonder if he has papers. Yes, he does, okay? Yes, I do. By God's sovereign hand. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? I'm going somewhere with this. Follow me. So here I am. I pass Tijuana, and then we get to a beautiful city, the city by the bay, San Francisco. Sorry for those LA fans, okay? But we get to San Francisco, and God's sovereign hand was still on us because he had a purpose. He had a plan for this young boy. He knew that he needed to be here today, this moment, this second, this hour, this minute, to tell you that God has a plan for your life. And God brings us to San Francisco and connects my mother with a job where she gets to take care of a lady, and where she gets to meet a man that helped us, that helped shape my life, my stepdad. Through that lady, my mom meets this man that is an American citizen, and we're able to fix our immigration status. We're able to become American citizens. And that begins a journey of faith, a journey that allows me to get connected to a local church living in the Bay Area. This young man came knocking on my door and invited us to church. And that opened up an opportunity. Remember, the seed of the gospel was planted in Nicaragua. And now the seed of the gospel continues to grow in the Bay Area. Somebody invites me to church. At the age of 11, I get baptized. Now, it doesn't get any easier because the area where we live was gang infected. The Sureños, anybody heard of the Sureños and the Norteño gangs? It was infected by that area. I had a lot of influence in my life where I could have chose the wrong path, but God's sovereign hand was upon me. I remember trying to get recruited to be part of the gang by the Sureños. But my stepdad was there telling me, that's not a good choice for you to make, because God has a purpose. God has a plan. That's why you need to speak life into your kids. Your kids need to know that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, that God, and you as a father, even if you're a stepdad, you still can plant the gospel. You can still change lives. If it wasn't for Jesus, it wasn't for my mom, if it wasn't for my stepdad, I wouldn't be here. He wasn't my real dad, but he was my dad. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So through that process, I've seen a lot of my friends that joined the gang died and be stabbed and be thrown into a river or whatever. But God's sovereign hand was upon me. Growing up in the Bay Area, I decided that I wanted to be a police officer. Right here. I wanted to be a police officer. But God's sovereign hand was upon me, and he said, I chose you. He says, you hand me behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. And here I am trying to go to college, to become a police officer. And they invite me, and I go through the church that I was affiliated with. They invite me to a Christian camp. And at this Christian camp, I felt the pastor calling people to become pastors. And I remember God's, I don't know if it was his voice, I don't know what it was, but I felt God telling, Joe, I chose you. I saved you from Nicaragua. I saved you from whatever I saved you from. I saved you. You could have died in Nicaragua. You could have starved to death, but I chose you. And I want to remind some of you where God has taken you from your past, that you could have died using those drugs. You could have died being where you were. But God, in his great mercy, he saved you and he gave you a purpose and he gave you a plan. You're not an accident. You're here because God has a plan for your life. And you could have been dead a long time ago. The enemy tried to killed you, but God had a plan. So here I am. Got to go to do God's work. I get connected with Southern Baptist. They help me go to school, get my education, start as a youth pastor, 2008. This recession happens. The church fires me because of the recession. But everything happens for a purpose. Nothing happens by accident. Remember what God has done for you in your past. Don't forget that. Don't forget that, because we have a tendency to forget, and we're going to be starting the heroes of the faith. And these heroes of the faith had one thing in common. They all trusted God in some area of their lives. And whatever you're going through, trust God. Now, out of that depression, out of that recession, came the opportunity of my lifetime, where we had the opportunity to open a church, a plant a church. The opportunity was given us to plant a church in the Bay Area in 2008, and it was called Christian Family Center, Centro Familiar Cristiano, in the city of Newark. We planted that church. We started in a backyard, and then we moved into a garage, and then they called the police on us 3 times, okay, because the music was too loud, because we Latinos cannot do things halfway. You know what I'm talking about? You know your neighbors. Bum, 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 bum. Okay? Somebody, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. It's okay. You can be honest. All right. So they called the police on us, and then we got to, by God's grace, God's sovereign hand. He moves in mysterious ways. He's behind the scenes. Trust him. He moves us to a church where we were there for 9 years. 2015 comes. God calls again, and he says, I got to move you. I got to move you, Joe. My beautiful wife, my beautiful bride of 20 years, I have 4 beautiful children. We're all moving from the Bay Area, but God makes you uncomfortable sometimes because he has a better plan for your life. And if you're going through things that are uncomfortable right now, get ready, because God is on the move. God is getting ready to use you. God is getting ready to move you. He makes it uncomfortable for me to be at that church. He says, Joe, it's time for you to move. I want you to move to Fresno. And I was like, Fresno? Come on, God. Come on. Yes, Fresno. I'm going to buy you a home in Fresno. I'm going to help you get into it. All right. Now we're talking. So I moved to Fresno, but all these years, God has been preparing me for to come here to the Well. Check this out. For 20 years, while I was doing ministry and whatever area I was serving in God, God always calls those who are moving, who are always moving forward, not backwards. Moses, we're going to learn in the heroes of faith, God calls Moses when Moses was doing something. God calls Noah because Noah was living a righteous life. Now, through all these things, the church that I planted, I was a bivocational pastor for 20-something years. Working and pastoring the church. Never complain. Don't complain. Tell your neighbor, don't complain. And if he's complaining right now, I hit him aside the head and said, don't complain. Okay? Don't complain. God doesn't like whiners. Okay? So here I am, being faithful to where God has called me, where he puts me, and being for 20-something years, my other career was I was a professional food service manager, chef, whatever you want to call it. That's what I did. I cooked for people. I organized parties and all that stuff. So when I moved to Fresno, I don't have a job. And I'm thinking of planting a church because I think that's what God has called me to do. I want to plant a church in Ridley with the Southern Baptists. And Southern Baptists hooks me up with a church. And the church says, well, you know what, Joe? I don't think that this is not going to work. And I'm like, God, hello, God. You called me to Fresno. You gave me a house. And now I don't have any job. Then I hear of this church called The Well. You might have heard of it, right? Okay, I hear this church of the Well, and they're looking for a missions pastor, and I'm daring, and I throw my application in there, but God has a plan. God has a plan. He doesn't make accidents, and he connects me with the right people at the right time. I don't have to manipulate anything that God has for me, because when God has something for me at the right time, at the right moment, it comes. When you try to do things your way, manipulate things, that's when you get in trouble. Woo! Is that right? Tell your neighbor, God's talking about somebody you know. God's talking about somebody you know. Now, listen, here I am, 2016. This church takes about 8 months to hire me. They tell me we want you to come and be part of our team. It took a long time to get hired, but I'm grateful for that. Gave me an opportunity. I continue to work. I got a job working at a local place here, managing the kitchen, but I continue to be faithful. Be faithful in the small things. God will bless you when you're faithful in the small things. Be faithful where God puts you. Shine where God puts you. Wherever you are, shine, shine. So they bring me on staff, southeast. They tell me to start a little Bible study. They only knew. They didn't know what they had told me. God has put a fire in me, my brothers, and God has put a fire in you. And I'm a Jesus freak. I am addicted to saving lives for Jesus. And they told me, start a Bible study. And then they throw me a curveball. Says, well, you know what? We need a Southeast campus pastor. I'm like, okay, well, let's do this. So I never complained. Said, okay, bring it. And then a year later, they closed Southeast. And here I am in a dilemma again. And I'm going to say, what am I going to do now? And they tell me, well, I continue to be faithful with my small Bible study that I had. I invited all my neighbors. Only I made about 20 invitations. Out of the 20 invitations, one neighbor came. One person. And that person's still there. She came, and I told her, from this Bible study, we're going to go to a church. We started the church. We started La Fuente right there in the living room of my house. And then we brought La Fuente, God's sovereign hand. They told me, well, we want you to continue here on staff. We want you to help us become more multicultural. We want you to be an influence here in the city. We want you to bring your Bible study into the Fig Garden campus in a little room. Not kidding you. When I moved to the Fig Garden campus, I have 4 people. My kids. Thank God for our kids, all right? And my wife, okay? And that one person, okay? And I had some other people that would come in and come go. And we moved into this room. And within 2 months, we grew to about 34 people. And God's sovereign hand, I don't understand what God was doing. It's like, God, why are you doing all this stuff? And it pushed our church to say, well, you know what? This is for real. We have something here. And then last year in October, when they finished when we got the opportunity to move into the fellowship hall, we moved in there, believing that God has called us to a greater call, that the dreams that God has put on us come because we've been faithful in the past, because we don't forget what God has done, and God always rewards us and always blesses us when we're faithful, when we don't forget the things that he has done in our past. If God has been faithful in the past, do you think he's not going to be faithful in the present and in the future? Of course he is. And here I am, last week, from 4 people in my living room, in the room there, we had 68 people last Sunday at our church. We have a worship minister. We had people giving to God. We had people coming. I told the elders last Tuesday, so you know what? We have the United Nations coming to us. And I'm not kidding you. We got people from Colombia. We got people from Mexico. We got people from California. We got people from Brazil coming to La Fuente. We got people from Portugal. We got people from all over Central America coming to us. Help us to share the gospel. So I want to encourage you to tell your story. I want to encourage you, like I said from the beginning, the hero of my story is not me. The hero of my story is Jesus. And I want to challenge you this morning, man, to do not let your past determine who you are. Let your past be an instrument that God uses to heal other people, to help other people, to share your testimony wherever God puts you today. Because you are not an accident. The devil tried to kill you, but God had a plan. He saved you. He rescued you, so he can get the glory and honor. Because other people in your life probably say you should have been dead. You're nothing. You're worthless. But for God, you're not. And if you have messed up this week, and if you had jacked up your life, let me tell you, God is a God of opportunities. And he wants to rescue you, and he wants to use you. I always say, if God can use a poor boy from Managua, Nicaragua, with a little bit of education, but with a heart from God, he can use you. What is your excuse? What is your excuse? So I want to leave you with this today. You hand me in behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. God has handpicked many of you here to take his word to the kingdom of darkness. Would you join me? Would you say, Lord, here I am. I will use my story, my testimony, that nobody can tell your testimony better than you, for your honor, for your glory. I always tell my kids this. Listen to this. My son ran cross country, and I always tell my son this. No more excuses, just execution. So no more excuses, guys. Execute the plan, the purpose that God has put you in this earth. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for each of the men that are in this group. I ask that you bless them, Lord. I pray that, God, like Ephesians says, that you saved us for a purpose, for a plan, where your workmanship, you don't make an accident. Your sovereign hand has been upon each man in this room. You picked them. You have a plan for them. And may they believe this week that you have a plan for their lives, Lord. Use their past. Use their hurts. Use, Lord, their troubles that they're going through right now so you can get glorified, Lord. May they be faithful. Right there where you're at. But you just tell God, God, help me to be faithful in the small things of my life. I glorify you, Lord. You're the hero of my story. We love you and we thank you. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.